everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. Going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, this cold and icy week, but a great time to be inside and see some great live comedy. And boy, do we have some great live comedy for you this weekend with our headliner, Stuart Huff. I've known about Stuart for years and years. It was great to talk to him today. We had a real fun talk that you'll hear in a couple of minutes. And long overdue. We'll get more into that. But let's start on Wednesday, January 28th. We're going to end this month strong with the 101 Improv Class Showcase. That's the students of Tam White's Improv Class. They're going to entertain you at 7:30 p.m. coming up this Wednesday. I've seen the students. Some of them I've taught in my advanced comedy class. And a lot of funny people in the Improv Showcase. That's at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, January 28th, and then starting on Thursday night, the 29th at 7:30, Stuart Huff is in town. There's five shows with Stuart in addition to Thursday, 7:15 and 9:45 are the show times on Friday the 30th, and then the last day of January, Saturday the 31st, 7 p.m. and 9:30. Those are your show times. It should be great. Stuart Huff is, you know, he has this reputation, one of the best ever, and he's coming in. Well, before we get to that talk, we got a Sunday show this week. That's right, February 1st, the return of Don McMillan. He's describing it as Don McMillan 2.0, asterisk, now powered by AI. System update complete, ready for tour. Don is so funny. It's a 7 p.m. show on Sunday. Don drew a great crowd last time he was in town. You might remember Don as he's the engineer comedian that does the slideshow with the charts and the graphs, and it is a riot. I'm such a fan of Don. I can't wait for Sunday. He's so funny. I really should have got him on this show, but I had Stuart Huff this week, and I mean, Stuart's awesome. So, but Don McMillan on February 1st, Sunday, 7 p.m. show. Get out for that one if you want to see something unique. I mean, we got so much talent this weekend for you. Oh, my God. But Stuart Huff is who I talked to today, and it was great. It was terrific talk. I have known about Stuart through various comedians who have intersected with him out there on the road. My time on the road, never worked with Stuart Huff, but I always heard he was great. Never come to the Comedy Castle, and this is his first weekend. So it's going to be a good time. Stuart is a very smart comedian. You might even call him the comedian's comedian because he has smart, intelligent comedy. And sometimes it's a little political. Sometimes it's just about the human condition. It's about life. He told me this. He wants to talk more about positive things versus negative things. He'll talk more about that in the interview. We also talk about what comedy was like in the 80s versus now. He'll tell us about his life on the comedy road. Living in his car. Had every drink cup from every fast food place to get a free refill. Those are just some of the funny stories he tells us. We talk about his comedy special, God Hates Anne, that I watched, which was so funny. And I'll give you some quotes from that one. But Stuart's just a great dude. He's one of those guys that's been out there on the road. And people who know comedy, who know what's good, they all know Stuart Huff. And he's new to us here at the Comedy Castle, but I guarantee you, if you buy a ticket and come out, you'll have a great time this weekend. And, is it left? Is it right? You know, it's probably leaning left, but, you know, it's also smart. I think one of the great things about comedy is even if you disagree with his politics, you come out, you see a guy like Stuart Huff, who's just so funny and so smart, and he makes you laugh. It's going to be hard to hate this guy. Everybody that works with him says nothing but great things. And I really enjoyed my interview with him here. And so we'll play that for you. I guess we'll play that for you right now. Maybe we'll play that for you right now. We'll come back. We got to talk about the comedy classes and tell you what's going on with those. Got the new one coming up. But let's just throw it over to Stuart Huff. This is going to be a great interview. You guys will really dig it. I was really had a great time talking to him. Here's Stuart Huff, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, I want to welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast for the first time, Mr. Stuart Huff. How you doing, Stuart?
I am good. I'm cold. I'm down south, and there's ice everywhere.
Where are you at? Where not normally ice where you are?
No, I mean, you know, we usually get one snow a year, something like that, and the kids go crazy, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
and then it's gone. But you know, this is this is abnormal. You know, this is everything covered in ice.
Yeah, it was bad up here.
What I was looking. Yeah,
Michigan is lousy and cold, but we had a nice crowd last weekend, so you're going to keep that going, I think.
Nice. Icy and cold's perfect to get your butt out of the house and come to see some jokes.
See some comedy. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, man, I have heard about you. I've been in comedy for over 20 years, right? And I've heard about you from my friends, people I respect, at the holding you in the highest of esteems.
Oh, I was waiting with, I was holding my breath. I didn't know which way that was going to go.
Absolutely, man. And I was just, you know, it's like, I mean, the guy that really put you over to me, maybe originally, Alex Price out of Indy. That guy loves you.
Yeah, I love Alex.
Alex loves you.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Alex is a good guy.
Yeah, we love him at the club. And so I said, well, you know, it's good to have Stewart finally at the club and all that stuff. You've never performed at the Comedy Castle? Or did you hit it earlier in your career?
I've never been there. No. I've known about it since the 90s when I started. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just always been a hard nut to crack. Everybody wants to work it, you know. And I'm just not the type. My personality is not the type that's going to, you know, call and constantly bug people. I figured, eventually stars will align, you know.
Yeah. Well, they are now. Did you ever go through these other any of those other Detroit clubs that might be gone at this point?
I'm not good with names, but I've performed, names of clubs, you know. Yeah. I'm just not good at remembering the names. Okay. But, yeah, I've been in Detroit, 15, 20 times.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
But, yeah, I like it. Yeah. I've always liked Detroit. Yeah,
you should. Detroit's a good place.
Yeah, it's a cool place. It's an extremely interesting place because there's just so many layers to that town, you know.
Right. And Royal Oak is its own thing, but feel free to say Detroit and Royal Oak. You'll be all right.
Oh, okay. It's not. Do people in Royal Oak get offended if you
I think the people in Detroit get offended when you say when you're in Royal Oak. But the people in Royal Oak are fine with it. You know, it just depends what side you're on.
It's so weird to me when you start traveling around the country. It's like, generally, the way it works is that the people in the town don't like the next town over, you know, and then it extends, you know, it extends from Michigan hates Ohio, you know, and Michigan doesn't give a damn about New Mexico. Who cares about those people? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, it's just you always hate your neighbor.
Yeah. But we're looking forward to it. And I would imagine, you know, look, I was watching a lot of your stuff leading up to this interview and really enjoying it. But, you know, a lot of political talk and that kind of stuff. And I mean, I'm watching clips from 7-8 years ago. What's in the act now? What do people have to look forward to?
Well, I don't know. I think, I guess to answer that question, first of all, my goal, I guess you call it, is, and I would assume that this would be most people's goal if they decided, hey, I'm going to be a comedian.
Yeah.
I would assume what they want to do is be the type of comedian that they would want to see, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to say whatever I want to say, despite where I'm at or who's in front of me. And now how I'm going to say it is dictated by, you know, the people, the audience. And, you know, I feel like I hope to entertain everybody. But, you know, but I'm not going to change who I am depending on, you know, what venue I'm in, you know. Yeah. What I'm talking about right now is way less political. It's more human. I'm talking about humans.
Yeah.
It just as a blanket, you know, what do we do? Not what does the other party or these people or, you know. It's more like, look at us, you know, both positive and negative. Right now I'm talking about a lot of positive things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That human beings do. I feel like, there's so much negativity right now. It's just kind of like, my God, I mean, nothing's all negative. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. I mean, so I'm talking about a lot of positive things and some negative things and trying to make jokes and stories about all of it, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. But, yeah.
I'm not, right now. it wasn't really a conscious decision. This is just what I'm writing. This is what I'm thinking about right now, but I'm not going up there screaming about a politician on either side. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I wrote down some quotes from, what is this? God Hates Anne. Just some of the funniest, just unbelievably. And I'm assuming, and knowing kind of how comedians work and giving you credit here, completely different act than when you recorded that, I'm assuming. But
the what I'm doing now?
Yeah.
That was, I'm proud of that show, God Hates Anne.
Yeah, it's terrific. Loved it.
The way I was working was, my life was way less stressful than it is now as far as, home life and stuff like that. And I had a lot more time. And pre-COVID, I was writing and turning over material pretty quickly, But that show, if I'm going to be judged on anything, then God Hates Anne. I just say, well, if you like this, then you're going to like me. And if you don't like this, then you're probably not going to like me,
No, really funny stuff. I'm just going to read. I don't know how you feel about me reading these actual quotes back to you, but I think the audience, just to give them, 30 without playing a bit or having you do a whole bit, some of these lines. You can't hate science and love NASCAR. That's great.
You want me to talk about these lines?
Don't matter, but they're so fun. People can watch the special and get the context, but, that says it all right there.
Yeah. The reality is, and especially, in the, I don't perform much in New York, San Francisco, LA. I like, middle America. I like what they call the flyover, That's where I feel comfortable. And you meet a certain amount of people that have these beliefs that are just like, they're wearing NASCAR t-shirt, hat, belt, shoes. And then science is bullshit. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So that kind of ridiculous. And then figuring out a way, how can I say that in a way that doesn't, I'm not trying to offend people. I'm just trying to make a funny joke,
Right. And a lot of not only is science under fire from a certain group of America, but history as well. And there's a lot of history in your show, which you actually learn stuff, which is great. And in talking about the teaching of history in the classroom, that they changed the name of slaves to workers, and that's like changing the word history to bullshit. Unbelievable. What a line.
Yeah, and I would, maybe that's the reason I'm the proudest of that show, because, there's lines in there, I think, that, if you have a brain in your head that is working, then it's very difficult to argue with that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I take it when people come to your show, you've been around for so many years now, but was there a point that you felt that people are coming to see you versus being the guy that was just, because when I was starting out at the clubs, you couldn't really even see a lot of the comics, they maybe 5 minutes on the Tonight Show years ago. When was that turn for you when people were like, I'm coming to see Stuart Huff versus the audience just coming out because it was Saturday night?
Yeah, it's interesting because the way the business has gone, when I started, you would, a club owner that he opened his club in 1982. And he told me a long time ago, but he told me, in the 80s, all you had to do was turn the open sign on and you sold out.
Yeah.
That was it. People just came to see comedy. And then it started changing around 95, 2000 started changing. And then the internet and all that stuff, made it to where people want to see a famous person. They don't want to just see comedy. And now with TikTok and all this stuff, the social media doesn't make me happy. I don't enjoy it.
Right.
And at my age, I don't, I've just decided I'm not going to fight that fight. I'm going to go and do what I want to do. And, people that see it, there's going to be a certain percentage of people, very small, percentage that are going to say, what is that guy's name? I want to write that down.
Yeah.
So, and those are really the people I want to reach anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's my attitude. So the way it is now is I'll go and do a show in Royal Oak or, you know, or where, or Ann Arbor or, you know, whatever. And I will have a small number. It's not huge. It's a small number, but they'll drive. I mean, they'll drive 2 or 3 hours and get a room. And, and it's nice because, you know, I don't know, I've never been famous, but when you have a few people that are really into what you're trying to do on stage, I don't know. It's like you have a friend group. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's and that's a nice feeling. And some comics never get that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy with you know, if you gave me the option, I could never get any more famous than I am now, but I could work the rest of my life. I'd take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I just want to do comedy until the old pine box has my name on it. You know?
Well, hopefully that's real far off there. So let's talk about starting out in comedy. All right. So I heard you tell this story about going to open mics. You'd go to the open mic and knock it out of the car.
Oh yeah. I don't, you know, I couldn't have told you this then, but, I think it's pretty clear in my mind what I was doing was I wasn't starting comedy. I was running away from you know, putting a suit and tie on every day.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be in a cubicle. And I was so dumb, young and dumb. Now I'm old and dumb. And, you know, I really felt like if I graduate college, then I'm going to end up saying yes to some cubicle job. And then that's it. And so I ran away. And I've always liked comedy, but I never thought about maybe I should try it. And, but I was writing stories and then one day I went up and in a coffee shop where people play music and I told some stories and no one thought they were funny. And I just thought that's so fascinating. Like I put together 10 minutes of things that I thought were very funny and not one human being agreed with me. That's amazing. And there's no way that can happen twice. So I did it again. I still kept doing it, like trying to figure out, like, God, that literally, when I thought of this joke or this story or this line, whatever it was, it made me laugh out loud to myself. And I just said it to 200 people and not one person. That's fantastic. and then it got, but it's so nerve wracking. It's so against who I am, my genetics, to go up on stage in front of people. And I would drive to the open mic and I would get there. I mean, before the wait staff, I'd get there. I was the first car in the parking lot and I would look over my notes, sit in my car and look over my notes. And then people would begin arriving. The club would open. Then the audience would begin arriving. The parking lot would fill up. And then you would see people start to come out and leave. And I was still in my car. And I would stay there until the parking lot was completely empty. It was just me. And I never went inside.
Wow.
I just couldn't do it, you know? Just too scared to do it. And then I got pissed. I think so what happened. I just got so mad at myself. Yeah. And there have been plenty of points where if someone would have come along and said, hey, do you want to go work for Best Buy and make this much money or what, that I would have said yes. But you know, no one ever offered me anything.
They don't do Best Buy don't get their employees that way.
Right. Yeah. So I just sat there doing this stupid thing.
Yeah.
And I lived in my car. And I don't know. I don't know if you want this. It's kind of dirty, but
all right.
You want me to tell this?
Well, sure. It's the they're coming to the show. That's the idea, right?
This is true. I don't tell this story on stage. This is absolutely true story. I was living in my car. I was driving around mostly the South, and I didn't know what I was doing. This is pre-internet, pre-cell phone. And I would meet a comic at a show, and they would say, hey, there's a place in Virginia that lets you go up. You just sign up, and you go up. And I would go, oh, where is it? And I would my car was my house. So, and I drive up to Virginia. So anyway, I was sleeping in a lot of rest stops and Walmart parking lots and stuff. And I was in a rest stop once, and I was sitting reading my book in my driver's seat, reading my book. And it was probably four in the morning. And then I looked to my left, and there was a man just masturbating, standing there. He just right next to me. I don't want to get too graphic, but I want to paint the picture. He wasn't like pressed against my window, or I would have I would have noticed him, but he quietly parked, got out of his car and stood, you know, and I turned and looked and there he was. Mm-hmm. And my first thought in my head was, thank God I'm not in a cubicle. You know what I mean? And I still kind of feel that way. Yeah. It's like the car breaks down and I have no money. And I'm like, God, I'm so glad that I don't have a tie on right now. Yeah. You know?
Right.
I don't know why it never, a lot of my friends hit a certain age and they were like, I don't want to drive. But I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the greatest part of it all. Yeah. I like the lifestyle of comedy just as much as I like the writing of it, which I love. The performing of it, and I like the entire thing. You know, if I could make more money, that'd be great, but I don't, so who cares?
Well, I mean, and I think we'd all say that, you know, the money in comedy is a weird thing because so many guys started making, like, post-pandemic, there was this boom, and I think a lot of people made way more money than they thought they'd ever make. Mm-hmm. And now that I think that, you know, I think that some of it's come down or the economy's a little lower. I don't know, whatever it is, where I wonder if some of those guys are going to stick around. Like maybe they don't love it. You know, some of these TikTok people.
Well, that's a very good question. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody ask that question. When I was starting, and we're talking about now the 96, 97, I mean, countless people, older headliners, people that have been around since the 80s, 70s, you know, they would laugh at me, and they're nice, but they would say, you're getting into it now? Are you kidding? It's over. Why would you start? You know, Rich Schneider, Rich told me a story. I mean, this 25 years ago, he told me, we were talking, we weren't friends or anything, but he was nice to me. And, I said, hey, you ever just go out on the road again and just for giggles, just for fun, and go work a club? And he told me that there was a club in Texas that he loved and he was friends, and him and the owner would golf and party. And he goes, I thought about going there. And he called me, the owner called me and said, hey, come back and work a week here. We'll have a blast. And the owner said, I can't give you what I used to give you. I can only give you about $5,000.
Yeah.
And Rich goes, are you nuts?
Yeah.
I'm not working a room for $5,000. What are you talking about? Right. And I was living in my car at the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? I had every soda fountain drink in my front seat for free refills. Every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah. And those people that are used to a certain lifestyle, they're used to a certain amount of money. Then, when that falls, when that goes away, that's a very good question. Are they going to say, well, you know, I think a lot of them are probably going to quit because you have to love it to do it.
Really. Right.
It's too hard.
Yeah. You go through the highs, you go through the lows, you go through a pandemic, you go through whatever it is, 9/11. I was working during 9/11. That was, that wasn't fun.
No. I mean, it pops up and like TikTok and all this kind of stuff. Then people, there's been some clubs that have said to me, we want you to post on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, X number of times a day. And I said, you know, get someone else because I'm not your person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not going to do that. And then, you know, is that the right move? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what anything is the right move. Right. I have no idea.
Well, you just got to do, you got to do the work and do it well. And I think that's what you're doing. So, and you know, I'll tell you, we're looking forward to it. I was talking to some of the staff here. We play that little trailer of you and before the show, you know, for the last 3-4 weeks.
Uh-huh. Is it good?
Like, yeah, I think it's from Laughs on Fox.
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
You don't remember what you did on there?
Yeah, that was years ago.
Yeah, that was over 10 years ago, I'm guessing, because we taped some of those at our club.
Okay.
Steve Hofstetter came in and taped some of those at our place.
Right.
But it was comics from kind of all over. You know, it was not just Michigan comics that did it. And they put a 3 dozen people on, and then I think that show went away. But
yeah,
the clips live on.
The clips live on.
The clips don't die.
Phenomenal how you all found that. I didn't even know it existed.
It's on YouTube. Yeah, going to watch some stuff. I saw those same clips. Well, that's where the boss got it to put it on the screen, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's all good. I mean, you, but it's since, was God Hates Anne the last sort of official release then, or have you done?
I've done two. I did two after God Hates Anne.
Okay.
That was, you know, like pandemic stuff.
Yeah.
And I wasn't crazy about it. So I didn't do anything. And, you know, and that's changed too. Talk about changing stuff.
Sure.
Like
pre
COVID, people would, you would make a CD and people would buy the CD. Mm-hmm. And now you can't even buy a car with a CD player in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of stopped doing that, but I just filmed the show I'm doing now that I'm going to be doing this weekend at your club. Mm-hmm. We filmed that in, last weekend.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, awesome.
Yeah.
That was my next question. Well, you got to have something in the works then. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the show I'm doing now, I think it's great. I'm a fan of it. I don't know if it's, you know, God Hates Anne, but I don't care anymore. I'm not trying to outwrite something. You know what
I
mean?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it should be great, man. Let's see here. I'm just looking at who's open for Bruce Pike and Skippy Rose opening for you. I don't know if you know them, but
okay.
I know them and they're good. You'll enjoy them. But you must have guys, though, when you come to town that really want to be. Do you have openers that you're like, I like this guy? Or do you like going in and just seeing what they're offering up at the club?
Yeah, I mean, to answer that question, honestly, what I like doing is going somewhere and working with people like, whoa, I've never seen this person.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And because when I love comedy, it's when, you know what I mean? Like, I've never seen this person, and then they completely blow you away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still get a genuine childlike love out of, wow, that was great.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't like to, like, say, well, I travel with my own person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like experiencing something new. But, you know, it also turns where you could be like, oh, my God, this is horrible. You know what I mean? And, you know, where you end up working with someone that, you know, you don't like, don't get along with, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's worth the risk to me. But, you know, there's always, you know, sometimes I bring people with me because, you know, whatever, they, you know, they deserve it. You know, or if the club says, hey, do you have someone? Then I'll say, yeah, I'll bring somebody. Yeah. And, you know, and I always try to find someone that, you know, is trying hard to be good, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. And then you see weird people doing that, you know, when you travel and you see who the local talent is. I enjoyed that when I was on the road. Maybe you know this guy, right? I went to Atlanta. My brother lives in Atlanta. All right. And I would visit him from time to time. And one time I got a guest spot at the old Punchline, Sandy Springs. You must have been there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's where I started.
Good club with the balcony and the whole thing. A nice place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy that went up before me that would... And he ended up on one of the last Comic Standing auditions from this era. And this is over a decade ago. He would put a box on his head and turn a crank. And a joke would pop out. Does that ring in any bells?
Oh my God! Yeah,
he must be known down there.
Kind of.
But that was like that was guy going up before me, and I was like, "What is going on in Atlanta?"
I'm not going to say any names.
Okay.
But there was a guy, and I always kind of liked him. He was one of those. How do you say it honestly, but politely? He was he was black licorice, you know what I mean? He was like one of those things where like you either liked it or you didn't.
Right.
He was garlic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You either like this or you don't. But he was always reaching, always trying these all bizarre. Remember one time he was sitting next to me, and this is before the time you're talking about, but same guy. But he was sitting next to me talking and the show's going on. And then he goes, oh, it's my turn next or whatever. So he gets up in the same club, Sandy Springs,
Punchline.
And he's wearing khaki pants with a white shirt tucked in. And he usually wasn't dressed that way. So it was odd, but I didn't say anything. And and then he goes up and they introduced me, and he goes up and they introduced him as this is his first time on stage.
Oh, okay.
Which it wasn't.
I've known guys that do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got, and every time this guy took the stage, you were always like, what's he going to try? Cause not hardly it, none of it worked ever. Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean? But he goes up and he looks very nervous. And I have to say, he played nervous very well. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure half of it was real and half of it was acting, but you know, he looked very nervous and he began stuttering and stammering and can't get the joke out. And then you start to see like a small wet spot near his crotch. And then it gets larger and larger until, I mean, his knees are wet. The half, maybe more of the front of his khaki pants are like dripping water.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh my God, and runs off stage. And no one's laughing. And everyone's looking at each other like, oh my God, that was, you know, some people have a face of kind of like, oh, that poor kid. And the rest of them are like, what an idiot, you know? And then he comes back and sits directly next to me and just, I swear to God, he sat down. I said nothing. He goes, well, that didn't work.
So he didn't really, I don't know. Did you find out if he really pissed himself or it was some sort of gimmick?
He had water in a syringe in his pocket.
Okay.
And he would do that. I'm talking about like every other week he would show up and he would do something that was just like, what made you think this would be fun? One day, all he did, one show, he for like a 6-minute set or whatever, he spoke French. And I don't even know if it was real. I don't speak French, but what do I know? And then he would like get off stage and go, you want to go to a Waffle House? What? But I mean, how much fun is that guy?
It is. You know what I mean? That is, you do miss that, I guess, for the open mic days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to be not to be rude about it, but most, especially younger comics, are struggling. They're trying to find
working hard.
That works.
Yeah.
So their topics are generally limited. It's sex or drugs, you know, and stuff that is relatable. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes out doing the most bizarre stuff, and you're like, what? Yeah, I don't know. I always kind of liked him. It was like the weird bright spot of the night.
Oh, man. Well, listen, we're not having any of that this weekend, all right? So leave the syringe at home, Stuart.
No, if I pee this weekend, it'd be real, baby.
It'd be real. All right. Bring the khaki pants just in case. But make it as visual as possible. Make it as bright and easy to see right in them stage lights. So.
Yeah, put some of that pool blue stuff in me. It'd be good.
Hey, man, what a pleasure. Thanks for talking to me, Stuart. And we want people to come out this week and go to comedycastle.com. Get your tickets for Stuart Huff. Come on.
Yeah. It'll be fun. And I can't wait to get there. I mean, I've been in the business a long time, and everyone loves this club. It's going to be fun, no matter what happens.
Well, you're long overdue, and I think you're going to have a great time. I know.
Yeah, man. I look forward to it.
All right. We'll see you Thursday, man.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Stuart. Bye-bye. Bye. There it is, Stuart Huff. Thanks, dude. Fun talk. Enjoyed talking to him. I thought we were just getting rolling. Talking about the old Atlanta punchline, Sandy Springs. That was a good place. Only got to play there once. But yeah, it was fun talk, and I'm really, really looking forward to this weekend. I think, you know, we've got some great comics coming in this year when we did the rundown a couple weeks back with Bill Bichart. Stuart was one of the guys that I just highlighted. Because I was like, man, this guy's never been. He's one of the few that's never been at the club that everybody loves. So, Stuart, really looking forward to it. And, of course, Don McMillan on Sunday is going to be awesome as well. We've got the Improv 101 showcase for you on Wednesday. And we're getting closer to the we've got more showcases coming up. Bill Bichart's beginner comedy class. I believe they start up next week. If you want to sign up for that, call the club at 248-542-9900. Of course, I've got my advanced comedy class. As I'm recording this, I'm about to head out to an open mic here in a couple of minutes and work with those guys. If you want to take the advanced comedy class, if you've done the beginner class or you've done a little bit of comedy and you want to know what it's like to be a working professional comedian, the advanced comedy class is the thing that you want. Work with me for 6 weeks. That starts up again February 28th. And I've already got some folks signed up. The last one sold out. So please, if you're interested in that one, call the club at 248-542-9900. 9900. And of course, for any of our show tickets, for Don McMillan on Sunday, for Stuart Huff, for any of the Comedy Class Showcase shows, you go over to ComedyCastle.com. We announced Dave Attell last week. How about that? There's a big get. We get Attell. We try to get Attell every year. We don't always get him every year, but we got him coming in May. So those tickets are going on sale. We know those shows will sell out. There's only four of them this time. No Thursday show for Attell. So you come Friday, early, late. You come Saturday, early, late, whatever you're doing. Come see Attell. He's awesome. One of the all-time greats. Dave Attell's coming. And, of course, Mark Norman is coming. Pete Holmes, Maria Bamford, all of those tickets available right now on ComedyCastle.com. All right, so come warm up with us. We know it's been some tough weather. We appreciate the big crowds we had out for Nathan McIntosh. He was awesome last week. So shout out to Nathan and to everyone who came. Thanks to you guys for coming and supporting live comedy. All right, at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And always got to thank Mark Ridley for being the brains behind this operation here. One of the all-time great club owners, and he's still doing it. We love you, Mark. Bill Bouchard wrangles a lot of this talent for me. Alex Price, actually, who we talked about in the interview, actually got me hooked up this week with Stuart Huff. So shout out to the homie Alex Price down in Indianapolis. And thanks to you guys for listening. Comedy Castle Podcast. Catch us on Instagram. I got to plug these. I never do. Instagram, Facebook, Comedy Castle Pod is the Instagram handle. Follow us over there. You can follow us on Facebook as well. Comedy Castle Podcast. I believe that's all one word on Facebook. I know the club blows these out if you're on those mailing lists or you follow the club, but join us there. Make us feel nice. Make us feel... Social media means a lot, right? Means a lot. It would mean a lot if you followed us. Come on. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks to Stuart. We'll catch you this weekend. It's going to be great shows. Bye-bye. Whoops. I hit the wrong fader. Ay, ay, ay. I'm not redoing this. See you this weekend, guys. Bye-bye.